The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Coming up, we'll be discussing the possibility of US international Weston McKennie making that switch from Schalke to Juventus. Also, Craig will be here as we'll be discussing the signing of Ben Chilwell and what that means for Chelsea's ambitions for the start of the new season. We'll start, though, by talking about what a 24 hours it has been for Lionel Messi in Barcelona. Of course, on yesterday's show, we broke the news that he told the club that he wanted to leave. And it is pretty much in every newspaper in the world. Somewhere you can find this story. Such is the gravitas of this announcement. We also saw protests, didn't we, on Tuesday night outside of the Barcelona training ground, talking about them wanting Bartomeu sacked from the fans. We're here to try to unpick everything that's been going on. Ali Moreno, Mark Ogden and Julian Laurent. Jules, I want to start with you because there is this story, isn't there, that this is all a big bluff. This is all about trying to get Bartomeu out by Messi. How much do you believe this? How much do you think this is actually just a ruse from him to try and get his way?
No, I think there must be a part of truth in that. We've known now for weeks and weeks, maybe months, that The main issue for Messi right now in Barcelona is Bartomeu and the board and his people. I don't think there's any secret in that. That all season, Messi has been very vocal about the hierarchy at the club and how messy they've made that club. I mean, I think, and I've mentioned it many times on the show, I think Bartomeu has destroyed this club, has been destroying this club for the last 4 years. And I think maybe this season, it was just too much. It was just too much for Messi. It was too much for other players as well. We saw how the season unfolded, especially after the restart, and everything went completely pear-shaped. And I think there's a part of truth in the sense that maybe if Bartomeu leaves and if he resigns with his board, then maybe Messi might decide to stay in the end. However, you could also see it that Messi has had enough and wants something new, wants a new chapter somewhere, wants to see something different after all those years at Barcelona. And that even if Bartomeu offers his resignation, then he might still want to go and play somewhere else.
What's your gut say about this, Ali?
Well, I just think that Messi has been telling us, never mind what my gut says, he has been telling us now for some time that he's not happy. And I think for the first 10 years or so, the decade of Messi in Barcelona, we rarely heard from Lionel Messi. And now, over the last few years, it's been sort of incrementally, you have heard him speaking out more and more. And almost as if to say, guys, we better sort this out. We better get it right. Okay, I don't see the plan. I don't see the structure. What are we doing in the future? How is it that we're going to rebuild? Who's the decision maker? Who's making these decisions long-term, short-term? What players are we bringing in? Who's on the field? Who's going to help us off the field? Who's going to help us? And those questions have not been answered to his liking. And you can see then after the 8-2 result in which he said, you know what? Yeah, that's enough. I've been telling you for a long time. I've been talking. I've been speaking to the media. I've been saying things. I've been sending signals. You're not paying attention. I'm out. And once you make that decision, I think I don't know that there is coming back from this if you're Lionel Messi. And even if you come back from it, how useful would it be for Barcelona to have Lionel Messi for a year of him knowing full well that he doesn't want any part of this club any longer, given his now frustration with the overall structure of this organization?
So he's going to go to Manchester City, Mark?
I mean, that seems the obvious destination for lots of reasons. You know, the financial side of it, the connection with Pep, the connection with Ferran Soriano, Chico Bagheristein. You know, I've spoken to people at City in the last couple of days, and what's significant, I think, is that they are not playing it down. They're not confirming on or off the record they're interested, but they're not playing it down. They seem quite happy to ride the wave of Messi connections, publicity. And I think it's fair to say that if any club has a long-term objective to get Lionel Messi, it's Man City. They've always been keen for something to happen at Barcelona, but I think the reality is that they've never thought he would leave. And I think even now, the view at City is that there might be a chance, but ultimately he will probably stay at Barcelona. They feel that getting him out of Barcelona is going to be such a hard thing to do. I mean, the emotional connection is one thing, and the guys are right. He's so unhappy at Barcelona, but you know, if the president goes, then it might change things. But we're not really talking about the financial side of this now. You know, to all intents and purposes, Lionel Messi earns £100 million a year at Barcelona. Now that is £2 million a week, and you know, in the coronavirus situation that we've got right now, clubs like Man City and Man United are losing £4 to £5 million every time a game is played in an empty stadium. They have to pay a rebate to the broadcasters of around £20 million. That amounts to about £50 million already. So how do a club like Man City make it pay when they're obviously also going to be under severe scrutiny from UEFA for their financial dealings, because they've just overcome a two-year ban for, you know, contravening FFP regulations. So making this pay is one challenge, but getting Messi out of Barcelona and getting him to actually leave, I don't know, I think there's so many obstacles. But as you say, if he's going to go anywhere, I think he's going to go to Man City. That is the obvious destination.
Jules, just trying to unpick all the financial issues that Mark was talking about. In particular, it's weird. There's something strange, and however you kind of believe this or not, that Messi doesn't seem to care about money. And I don't know why I think that. I don't know why it's in their head, and I don't think it's just me, but it seems like if he did care about the money, you think he could have just stayed at Barcelona, couldn't he?
Yeah, maybe. I don't think the money is the issue at Barcelona, as we've been explaining. The thing with the money is, and we don't know how the negotiation will go with other clubs like Man City, like PSG, Manchester United or whoever. But there's a case where Messi can say, you know what, I'm 33 now. I just want to enjoy my last 2 years, let's say, in Europe before maybe going back to Argentina. And for those 2 years, I can take a pay cut. It's okay, I'm sorted. I can go, I don't know, let's say 20 million a year, which is already a lot of money. But this is the money he's paid right now. This is the latest contract he had with Barcelona. That doesn't mean that wherever he signs, if he leaves, it would be the same amount, same wages. Maybe he would say, okay, let's work out something different, could be paid in a different way. I don't know, we don't know. He doesn't have to be paid 100 million again as well in the next club. But it's true, Mark is right. I mean, you could see it in the other around, which is if a club signs him, you would expect more sponsorship money, of course, because you would expect that sponsor will queue up at your club to sign sponsorship deals with you because now Messi is in your team. Shirt sales, of course, although despite what people think, shirt sales doesn't bring you billions and billions in your club, but still, you will sell a lot of shirts with Messi at the back. You could probably revalue as well the current sponsorship deal that you have already with, I don't know, Nike, Adidas, whoever sponsors you, because Messi's in your team. So you will get more money, 100% you will get more money. How much more money is hard to say, but if you already have a high wage bill, regardless of how much Messi will want, that wage bill will increase and your revenue will have to increase massively as well if you still want to stay in the financial fair play regulations.
Tactically, how would he fit into Manchester City? How would he play, do you think, Ali?
Well, it's a different version of Lionel Messi than the one that played under Pep Guardiola years ago. And so you now have to sort out, okay, what would be his best role? What would be his best position? Well, he's going to have a free role. And think of David Silva. And we have seen what Lionel Messi became for Barcelona over the last couple of seasons, and in particular this year, more of a playmaking sort of guy, more of a facilitator. Well, think about David Silva in a more advanced position and then having the freedom to go in every which way he wants and everybody else just kind of adjusting. You are keeping, say, Agüero in a central position on the attack. Raheem Sterling gives you speed on the opposite side of Lionel Messi, and Lionel Messi with freedom to float in and out into spaces underneath of Agüero or whenever it is that he chooses to go on the opposite side of the field. Then Kevin De Bruyne overlapping on the other side coming out of the midfield. And then you start thinking about the possibilities of what Manchester City can look like. And the only person that is not excited about this is Phil Foden, who will sit on the bench very comfortably because if Lionel Messi is coming, he ain't playing.
What about the red side of Manchester, Mark? Any interest there? Because obviously you talk about clubs that could afford Messi. They're very much on that list.
Yeah, United are, you know, one of the richest clubs in the world, but even United have been hit hard by the pandemic. They haven't been able to get a deal done for Jadon Sancho yet, and that basically boils down to finance in terms of the gap between what they want to pay and what Sancho wants to receive and what his agent wants to receive. So let's not be fooled that United are mega wealthy, that their owners have a lot of money in shopping malls in the US, and that's not taken well to the COVID situation. So, you know, Man United probably right now aren't in a perfect place to form a bid for Lionel Messi. They are you know, sponsored by Adidas, and Messi is an Adidas player, if that actually matters. But if Lionel Messi wants to get away from Barcelona because he wants to play for a club that's about to win things, with all due respect to Man United, they're not there right now. They're not a club that will win the Champions League in the next year or two, I don't think. They're probably not going to win the Premier League in the next year or two. So in many ways, if he left Barcelona for Man United, he will be swapping one club in chaos for one club that's just emerging from chaos. And I think what he wants right now is a ready-made, tailor-made club that will win something straight away. But, you know, even Man City isn't that. You know, Liverpool showed last season that even Man City can't be guaranteed to win something. So he hasn't got a perfect destination unless, you know, we're speaking to Jules earlier, PSG would be a softer landing because PSG would enable him at least to win some trophies in domestic league. But, you know, would they challenge for the Champions League, which is what he wants? I don't know.
That takes us on to PSG, Jules.
It's an interesting one. Just before we came on air, I got a message saying that they were monitoring the situation, which is that they haven't made an offer. I don't think they've even spoken to Messi's dad, but they're looking into it. And of course they should, because they could find the money somewhere, and yet you might take some risk with financial fair play, as we explained before. You could try to make up that money and somehow make it work. The only condition for them is if Messi is free to leave Barcelona for a very small fee, which I think is the same for Man City. It's the same for every club. No one would be able to pay even 100 million pound or 100 million euro transfer fee if then you have to pay his wages on top, regardless of how much he wants in terms of money. But if it was available on a free or for a small fee, then I think PSG will try for sure, 100%, to make this one happen. He obviously has two very good friends already in Paris, in Angel Di Maria and Neymar, of course. And I mean, you can just think, in Paris, they're already getting quite excited by the possibility, even just thinking about it, of what a front three of Messi, Mbappe and Neymar could look like.
Jules, you will now shout at me when I say, but from a football fan's perspective, surely we'd want him to go to, like, a competitive league.
Well, a competitive like La Liga?
Well, at least you've got two horses in that
league. I'm kidding. No, but just don't give me the competitive line. Just say to me, oh, we all want in the Premier League. Of course we do. Of course we want to see him in the Premier League. I guess that, even at his age, this would be the best league for him. You want to see him against Liverpool, you know, twice a season in the league, and then maybe as well with a bit of luck in the Cup, and then who knows, maybe in the Champions League. You want to see that more than him in Ligue 1 playing against Amiens and Brest and Toulouse and Bastia and whoever else, even if they're not all in Ligue 1, the clubs I've just mentioned. But yeah, no, I hear you. I don't care. I'll take him every day. If you're not happy, you're not happy. You don't have to watch Ligue 1 with Messi.
Fair play, PSG TV. Here's the old question, isn't it, Ali? Can he cut it in the Premier League? Oh, it's raining and cold and defenders are hard.
Please. Honestly. I know you have to ask the question because I guess people that are big Premier League fans and that have been saying all along, well, he couldn't do it here in the Premier League because we're physical, because we're athletic, because we're this and that, and it's tough, and the referees don't protect you, and defenders don't lay down for you, and all the nonsense that you have heard about the Premier League fans regarding Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi, at his best, could play in the moon for all I care. Nobody's stopping him. The problem is that he's now 33, so you're not getting the best of him. You're getting a different version of him. And so there are going to be times in which you may say, yeah, see, he couldn't do it here in the Premier League. Nonsense. Whoever says that knows nothing about this game.
Mark? Are there any clubs that we haven't mentioned?
Well, the one club that may be a slight outlier in this, and I think me and Jules have discussed this as well, is Chelsea. Because, you know, Roman Abramovich seems to be giving it a real go again at Chelsea. He's had two or three quiet years. They haven't really invested in the transfer market, but they're having a real go this time. And I think, you know, Chelsea is a very attractive proposition for any player because it's London and it's a great part of London. They have ambition. They've won the Champions League. They're a club that wants to win the Premier League again. And they've got an owner who, in the past, has shown that he will do whatever it takes to get the players he wants. Now, it's been a while since Abramovich had a real go at it, but I do think that, you know, I wonder if Roman Abramovich is sat there on his yacht in Monte Carlo at times thinking, Lionel Messi, you know, what a great coup it would be to get Lionel Messi. So I don't think Chelsea are one of the favourites, but I do think that Chelsea should be considered because they have a lot of things in their favour. And, you know, I live in Manchester. I'll never say it's a bad place, but if you've got a choice between living in London and living in Manchester, I think Lionel Messi's only got one choice to make.
Not meaning to go all Marcotti here, Mark, but financial fair play, Chelsea spent a lot of money already.
Yeah, well, a lot of that money, the vast majority of that money was the money that they got for Eden Hazard last year. So they only spent what they have had in the bank vault for a year. So, you know, Chelsea, you know, commercially, they make a lot of money commercially. They're a big hitter on the global scale. So, but you're right. I mean, they would face the same challenges that Man City would face in terms of balancing the books. But, you know, Chelsea can generate a lot of money off the field in terms of commercial income. So whichever club does sign Messi, if he does leave Barcelona, we'll find it challenging to do the deal. And I think Chelsea at least have that ability to do it if they wanted to.
Right then, I suppose the crunch question. At the end of the transfer window, where's Lionel Messi going to be? Jules?
He would be in Paris.
Oh, God. Right. Ali?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think he will be in Manchester. I just don't see how he has gone through all of this process and has clearly made his point and said, I'm out, I'm done with this, and somehow backtracked. And once you send that bureau fax, then I think you're done. I think he's clearly made a choice here, and the obvious choice for him would be Manchester City.
Finally, Mark?
I think he'll stay at Barcelona. I've seen this in the past, you know, on a lesser scale, maybe with Wayne Rooney in Man United. Twice he took United to the brink of going, and he just played a game. It was a standoff, and at the end, big clubs across the world, big clubs do not lose their best players unless they want to. It's very rare that a big club, a super club like Barcelona, is forced into letting a player go, even one like Lionel Messi. So I think that Messi will get what he wants. He'll get a new contract, and he'll probably get changes behind the scenes. But I do think, like people at Man City think, he'll stay at Barcelona.
Boys, thank you very much. Sid Lowe, by the way, has broken it all down over on the website. Be sure to go over there and check it out. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. It's official. Ben Chilwell is a Chelsea player making that £50 million switch from Leicester City. Here to talk about it, Ian Dark, Shaq Hyslop and Craig Burley. Craig, how good an addition is this to Frank Lampard's squad?
I think potentially could be a great addition. Can't believe I'm saying this, but £50 million seems quite reasonable in today's crazy market. And Chelsea need a left-back, because Alonso, who has been pretty good for them, has operated much better when it's been a back three and he's a wing-back. And I'm pretty sure that Lampard doesn't want to go down that road. He doesn't want to play that system. So he needs a better left back. I don't think Chilwell had his best season at Leicester, certainly not at the end when he had obviously had the injury. But I think the potential is there. He's got the experience now. He can run the whole side if necessary. He's very, very fast. And he has a lot of Premier League and international experience now. So it clearly has been a position Chelsea have been looking at, it amongst many, many others. And I think while Chelsea fans might be thinking, well, he didn't look great when we played them towards the end of the season, I don't think that's the Ben Chilwell that long-term they will get.
Good business, in your opinion, Ian?
Probably, yeah. I think there are one or two people, though good judges, who've got reservations about Chilwell as a defender. He's obviously very good going forward. He is England's number one left-back at the moment. But is he as good doing the defensive side of the job? And that's where Chelsea have had their problems this past season. Because a lot of their games were like basketball games. They look like scoring, but they always look like conceding. Maybe the more important signing, which is imminent, is Thiago Silva, even though he's 35. Mm. He might give a bit of solidity for that defence. But, yeah, Craig's right. By current valuations, £50 million for Chilwell is probably decent business.
Shaq, are Chelsea building a team that contend for the title?
They are. If not this season, I mean, my only question mark is, with the additions is, of course, how do all the parts fit together in terms of team chemistry? We've seen a number of teams in the past spend heavily in the summer, and it just doesn't gel straight away. I think without question, given the signing, given the age of the signings in particular, Chilwell himself will still only 23, I think they are building a squad that will contend, if not this season, certainly in the long term. And I think it's good business from Frank Lampard on a number of different levels.
Ian, what should the ambition be for Chelsea this season coming up?
I think it's much, much different for Frank Lampard this season. Last season, really, it was almost like a free hit for him because there'd been a transfer ban. He was bringing the young players into the team. By and large, he did that successfully. Nobody thought they'd make the top four. They did. This time, he's got to keep a lot of people happy. Not all those new signings are going to get into the side. It's going to be a lot of competition for places. He's got to keep some big egos in check. And now the expectation is not only that they make the top four, but maybe they get into the title shake-up after that level of expenditure.
Can he live up to those expectations, do you think, Craig?
Well, he'll have to, or he'll be out. You know, and he's adored by the Chelsea fans because of his hugely successful time there. But Abramovich is not running a sentimental ship, and he's backed him. And Frank Lampard now knows he's going to have to prove his worth. I think we saw enough last year in terms of the way his team played that there is a lot of hope there. I think there are concerns about the way his team defended at times, and that's something that he's going to have to sort out. But the thing is, Abramovich and the ownership will expect him to be, as Ian said, in the title shake-up. But the very least they'll expect, if they're out with the title running during the season, is that, and you know I've talked about this a lot, the gap that Chelsea and Man United had to the title gap to Liverpool was over 30 points. The very least that he can show, Dan, that if he's out of the title race next season, is that that gap has been narrowed considerably. You know, he cannot afford to finish, you know, in fourth spot next year, 33 or 32 points off the top boys. That's not going to cut. So as long as there's progress there, I think he'll get some time. And that's where the pressure's going to be. That being said, if the players do gel and there's been a heck of a lot coming in, I don't see any reason, none at all, why they can't make a really good fist of pegging that gap to Liverpool back.
Meanwhile, Ian, we've seen James Rodriguez linked to a move to Everton to once again link up with Carlo Ancelotti. Do you like this idea?
Well, I think it would be a punt, but I guess most transfers are a punt. I mean, he is a lovely player to watch when he's at his best. And he can run a game of football. He can pick passes. But he's had a bit of a checkered time of it, quite honestly, where he doesn't seem to fit in at some big clubs. Now he'd be going... I hope Everton fans will excuse me, but a club not quite as big as Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Can he haul them up and be the key man? I think there's a question mark against it, but I think it's probably a risk worth taking. It's quite an exciting signing, I think, for the Toffees fans if it does come off.
It's a big risk, though, isn't it, Shank?
It's a big risk, but at 30 million, I think it's a risk worth taking. Listen, James Rodriguez, and Ian is right, didn't fit in well at Real Madrid. Or at Bayern Munich, but I think what you see from him, or when you see him at his best, is when the team is built around him and playing for him. That's really what you've seen, certainly in his earlier days with Colombia, and it's what you'll expect with Everton. If Ancelotti makes Rodriguez his linchpin and fits the other parts around him, I think it's a risk that will pay off hugely, given the price tag.
Craig?
Well, I agree. Look, if you're a supporter of a football club and you're signing this calibre of player, this calibre of talent, then that's exciting. But I just don't see where the fit is, if I'm being honest. And the reason is, I mean, if you looked at Everton in the last 6 months or so or beyond, they've had two up top. Now, that might change, but they've gone forward early, over the top, with Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin, and they've used the physicality to try and get in behind. But as Shaq said, you're going to have to build everything around him. You're going to have runners, workers and grafters around them, because generally Everton haven't dominated games. And we know James Rodriguez, he's not first in the queue when it comes to working back. So in terms of a talent, yes, but it could be something similar to Mesut Ozil at Arsenal, where you have all this talent, but how does he fit into this current team? And that's kind of where I see it with the current Everton squad.
Meanwhile, Ian, I don't know if you've heard, but Messi wants to leave Barcelona. what's your reaction to it all, and where do you think he'll go?
Well, I think he means it, doesn't he, this time? Because he's really gone and sort of made this, this is official. I'm going, I want to leave Barcelona. I'm fascinated to, I don't suppose we're ever going to find out how we're going to get inside his mind. What does he really want? Does he want to link up with Neymar again at Paris Saint-Germain? I mean, what an attack that would be with Mbappe. Would he like to link up with Pep Guardiola again? I don't suppose he spends his evenings wondering about how he'd get on away to Burnley on a Tuesday night. I mean, he'd have been in the Premier League before now, I think, if that had been the case. So I don't honestly know how it's going to pan out, but I think this time he might be going. But who can afford his wages? It's £90 million a year. That narrows it down to maybe two or three clubs.
Oh, Shaq,
Dan, yeah. Dan, sorry. In my experience, and I don't know if Shaq's the same, maybe not. And my experience with players, and certainly me, but other players that I've played with and known, one of the draws for a move is the coaching staff, the management. And yes, the finances come into it, but listen, he's going to get, his pay is going to be out of this planet no matter where he goes. So it is the squad, the challenging for trophies, but in my experience, and I did it myself, I took moves because of management. I was drawn to people that I could work with, get on with, and understand. And I believe that's why Man City, amongst other things, will be absolutely in the driving seat here.
Shaq?
Yeah, I agree with Craig. Given the relationship between Messi and Pep Guardiola, and the kind of ridiculousness that was rumoured to come between them towards Pep's final days at Barcelona, how strict he was with the diet and didn't want Messi included drinking soft drinks, except carbonated soft drinks. I think Messi's moved on from that and realizing now at 33 that if he is to continue playing at the level that he is, those things have to be taken on board. So I think that relationship can be mended. I still feel it's just as likely that he stays in Barcelona. Now, I know a lot of things have to happen. There have to be a lot of people leaving, not just the boardroom, but similarly, questions are around Ronald Koeman, who's just been hired.
He can't leave, Shaq. He's just been coming.
Well, I mean, I just feel that I am one of those that can't see. I find it hard to see Lionel Messi anywhere else, and that's what's kind of thumping my own speculation here.
But it seems as if it's just gone too far for this now, hasn't it? I mean, you know, the thought that it might go legally as well. It just seems that he's on the outside, Dan, that he's made his mind up. And reading down through our colleague Sid Lowe's article today, if they haven't already lost him, if they tried to block it through a legal means, and we know he had this clause in his contract that he could potentially leave for nothing at the end of the season, we believe that said the 31st of May. But in this extraordinary season, the season didn't finish then, so there's going to be this big legal battle about whether that's going to be shifted till August 31st. But if Barcelona go down that road and try and block it that way, as Sid said in his article, they've definitely lost him because, you know, they're now going to try and keep a player who absolutely doesn't want to go there. So what's he going to do? Go and strike. Barcelona have a real conundrum here. I mean, what's the buyout clause? 700 million or something? Who the hell's going to pay that? The answer, nobody. So this, excuse the pun, but this could get really messy.
Ah,
oh. Sorry.
All that for that.
All night he's got excited about that. One player it looks like will definitely be leaving La Liga for the Premier League is the Valencia striker Rodrigo, heading to Leeds United. £30 million, the reported transfer fee. And it just kind of emphasised, doesn't it, Ian, the weight and the power and the wealth of the Premier League for a promoted side to be able to get this sort of signing.
Well, yeah, because it's reckoned that it's worth about £200 million to go into the Premier League. So £30 million for Rodrigo. I think that's a decent bit of business, really, for Leeds United. I've seen Rodrigo. I remember he scored a clever goal for Spain against England at Wembley. He also scored a very good goal for Valencia to win the game at Chelsea this past season. He's lively enough. And at that kind of price, I think that's good business for Leeds.
No other league would have it, Shaq, a promoted team coming up and making this sort of signing.
No, absolutely not. No other league in Europe or elsewhere. You really see a team coming up and spending that kind of money. And you expect Leeds to spend a whole lot more as well, understandably. Listen, 30 million in today's market, as we were saying earlier, is a decent price to take a gamble on. But for a striker who's had a limited return last season in with Valencia, I'm not that convinced about Rodrigo. He's the man that will keep Leeds up, so to speak. So it's one I have to see how it plays out. But right now, I have my doubts.
Craig?
Well, it's a promoted team with a history. It's a promoted team with ambition. And it's a promoted team with a hugely experienced manager. It's also a team in Leeds United, Dan, that don't want to go back down to the Championship the very next season because it's taken them an age to come back after their successful periods, 10, 15 years ago, or whatever it was, when they were spending money for fun. So I think we're going to see them spend again. And, you know, in some sense, what Shaka says is right. We don't know how it will take to the Premier League. We've seen other players come in, like Soldado to Tottenham, who had, you know, good reputations but struggled. So we just don't know. But it's not a huge fee. And I think we'll see Bielsa, encourage the Leeds board to spend in other areas too. Because, as I say, they spent, like the likes of Nottingham Forest, for big clubs, a heck of a long time in England's second tier.
Gents, thank you very much. A lot more from the boys, by the way, on Extra Time, where they're answering your tweets. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We've seen US international Weston McKennie linked to the likes of Hertha Berlin and Southampton over recent weeks. Well, I tell you what, it's taken a big jump over the last 24 hours. Juventus apparently interested in him. Jules and Ian with me. Jules, how much legs has this story got?
I think it's got a lot of legs, Dan. It's come from very, very serious sources in Italy, people who know. And it could be surprising in the sense that I'm not sure how many Juventus fans in Italy or people in Italy overall have heard before about Winston McKennie, unless they watched the Bundesliga and Schalke quite closely. However, if you listen again to the press conference that Andrea Pirlo, the new Juventus manager, gave yesterday, where he explained a little bit more about his own philosophy and how he will want the team to play next season, he said that he wants midfielders to have high intensity, high press, be able to press high, recover the ball quite high on the pitch with that intensity, with their activity. And really, McKennie is all about that. He's a very hard-working midfielder who has good ability on the ball, of course, but also chases the ball, recovers the ball, works really hard, put a lot of intensity on the opposition, presses high if needed. And I think if you look at what McKennie can offer, such a young age as well, he's only 21, he turns 22 in 2 days, I think, what a great birthday present that would be. But he fits the bill of what Pirlo wants the midfield to do at Juventus next season under him. Then you can always debate his technical ability, of course, to play in a Pirlo side. But in terms of physicality and what he can bring to that team, in terms of his fitness and his work rate, I think that's perfect.
Will he get minutes, Jules?
I think he will. I think he will in the sense that Pirlo knows that his number one job, really, is to rebuild his midfield. I think, obviously, Pjanic is gone and Arthur will come in. Let's see if Arthur will be a starter or not, because it was very much Mauricio Sarri's choice, not so much Pirlo's choice. Matuidi has left. Not sure what will happen with Rabiot, what will happen with Aaron Ramsey as well. You would think that Bentancourt is a starter. You could easily have a midfield three of McKennie, Bentancourt and Arthur, which on paper could look very much what Pirlo wants his midfield to do. So it'd be interesting to see if McKennie does come. And you could already see the kind of job that he could do in that midfield. A bit like what Matuidi did before under Sarri and Allegri as well. So there's something there. I think that Pierre-Louis can see in McKennie that would bring a lot to Juventus.
What a move this would be, Ian.
Yeah, massive upgrade, because you were talking about Southampton and Newcastle, the likes of that. Juventus, a European elite team coming in for him, is a big feather in his cap. It is a good question that you ask, though. Would he get the minutes? Obviously, Pirlo has seen him, and he does fit the kind of job that he wants his midfield players to be doing. He is an energetic box-to-box player, but you'd have to say it would be a surprise signing, and you'd hope, really, that it would work out better for him than it's worked out, say, for Aaron Ramsey at Juventus. You'd hope that he wouldn't just become bench-warming material.
Switching gears slightly, live on ESPN Plus this Saturday, it is the Community Shield. Of course, the curtain raised at the start of the new season. The league winners, Liverpool, taking on the FA Cup winners, Arsenal. And I tell you what, Ian, I'm looking forward to it because it seems like ages since we've seen a proper match.
It's the curtain raiser to a season that never ended, isn't it, really? Where did last season end and this one begin? Well, the Champions League final last Sunday, following Saturday, we start all over again. I suppose it is a glorified friendly. It really is, although Pep Guardiola and Jose Mourinho have attempted to say it's the first cup final and it's a real trophy and all that. It will be interesting to see Willian playing for Arsenal, making his debut, his proper debut, really. The young defender Saliba, who of course they sent back out to Saint-Etienne on loan, looked composed, I understand, in his first appearance in an Arsenal shirt in a friendly the other night. So interesting to see how they get on. And remember, Arsenal and Liverpool had a 5-5 draw, I think, in the League Cup, didn't they, last season?
Oh, there you go. With your Arsenal hat on, Jules, how seriously will they be taking this?
Really seriously, although the weird thing is that it's the first game of the new season. However, then you will have the international break coming straight after, and the two managers will lose some of their players, not all of them, because it's only for the European players, but still. So it's really weird. Usually you play your Community Shield and then you know that 5 or 6 days later, 7 for some clubs, you've got your Premier League starting. Mm. In that case, you would play that game and then you know you'll have to wait another, 2 weeks to have the Premier League starting. So it's a bit weird, but for both Klopp and Arteta, this is a big game to start. We saw them on pre-season, Arsenal against MK Dons. We saw Liverpool against RB Salzburg the other day as well. They've played well, they've rotated a lot, everybody played a little bit. But it'd be a very interesting one to see what kind of team the two managers put up at Wembley on Saturday. And then some of the new signings, especially Saliba for the Arsenal fans, that looks solid against MK Dons. That would be a far bigger test against Liverpool, but see how already he's playing. I think there's quite a lot of good things to look for in that game.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. It is live on ESPN Plus, 11 a.m. Be sure to join us. Thank you very much to Ian and Jules. Meanwhile, we've seen a number of strikers linked to moves to MLS. Luis Suarez, Gonzalo Higuain, Mario Balotelli, Ali. If you were to rank those three, and I don't think it would take you very much time to do that in terms of how much of an impact they would have on MLS, how would that ranking look?
The same way you introduce these players, Luis Suarez, Higuain, and then very, very far away, and I mean trailing the pack, very far away, Mario Balotelli. I would not touch Mario Balotelli. And people get excited about the idea of Balotelli. Oh, Balotelli coming to LA. What could possibly go wrong? Everything could go wrong because, let's face it, everything has gone wrong with him over the course of his career. And everybody that has tried to resurrect his career in the end ends up looking like, well, like you don't know what you're doing and you didn't learn the lessons from failures in the past from Mario Balotelli and everybody that has given him a chance. As for Luis Suarez, what you can say is that, you know what? There is something about Luis Suarez in wanting to prove that he still has it, that he can still score goals, that he can do it every single week in and week out. And to me, there is a certain motivation to Luis Suarez and a certain professionalism to Luis Suarez that would be very welcome to Major League Soccer and also brings a personality, a different character, a guy that would be easy to hate, easy to dislike, but easy to love as well. The difference between that and Balotelli is that Balotelli is all the things that I just mentioned, easy to dislike, but doesn't bring the productivity. And while you have a character, you don't have the goals on the field. So the headache is not worth it because the productivity is not quite there. Whereas for Luis Suarez, you're going to get goals. You're still going to get a great personality in this league. And Higuain, I think, is a guy that's going to score goals as well, but maybe not as magnetic in terms of his personality as compared to a guy like Luis Suarez.
Yeah, let's focus a little bit more, shall we, on Higuain. He would bring goals, you still feel?
Yeah, I still think so. And he is dependent upon service. We know that very well. Mobility is not quite what he used to be. But I do think that he still brings goal and still brings a level of quality. So under the correct circumstances, in the right scenario, Higuain, all you have to do is put the ball somewhere in and around the 18-yard box and he's going to score goals for you. I don't have any sort of doubt about that. But again, it has to be under the correct circumstances. You cannot put him on FC Cincinnati and say, hey, you be the guy that saves us. No, that doesn't quite work. You know, you're going to need a team that is already made and is missing a striker. It's missing that final touch. That team, with a lot of resources, can provide the services that he needs, and then he's going to score the goals that he wants.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN FC then back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us. Frank, Don and Casey will be here. But for now, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who's been on. Stay tuned. Craig, Shaka and Ian answering your questions in extra time. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ian, Shaka and Craig with us today. Craig, first off, I noticed during the show, what are those crystally things on your mantelpiece behind you?
It's not my mantelpiece.
Well, who's
the wife's?
Well, it's your house. Do you have designated mantelpieces throughout the place?
I can't look round, so I don't.
Why can't you look round? What's wrong with your neck?
I'm in my basement, and so we don't. This is not the most furnished part of the house. If you want to see the fireplace, the backdrop from the fireplace in the lounge, which runs directly above this, obviously, then I'll move the camera up there tomorrow.
No, I'm just wondering what those crystals were for. That was it. And is that a Christmas tree by you as well?
Christmas tree. The other side, Craig.
This side. Hold on.
Looks like, oh, what's that?
Come here.
What's it?
I don't know what is it. I don't know what it is.
It looks like a little Christmas tree.
It is a little Christmas tree.
Yeah.
It's a furnishing.
There you are.
The crystal. Hold on.
Hey, what are
all right, that? Listen.
There you go. Ah, oh, that's definitely you purchased.
Hear that?
Yep. What? Surely it's not meant to make that noise.
It's what you call a soft furnishing.
Oh, beautiful.
I believe.
Thank you very much. HGTV, here we come. Lovely. It's, Shaka, obviously, big Tim Howard fan.
Yeah, very clearly.
Beautiful.
His favourite number is 36.
There you go. And Ian's just got every cushion in the house in his conservatory behind him.
And they're very comfortable as well. It's a luxury setting for you.
It is beautiful. Right. Enough of this nonsense. After having seen players like De Bruyne, Lukaku, Salah, and now Coutinho and Gnabry, do clubs ever look back and review why some players didn't shine at their clubs but have been a revelation since they've left, Ian?
That's a very good question, yeah, because I think it's like horses for courses almost. It seems some players just don't fit in when they go to a new club. I remember Ian Wright telling me that when he played for Crystal Palace, he didn't feel there were any expectations on him. He felt like he was still playing for his Sunday league team. They were grateful if he banged in goals. They were grateful if he won. Then he went to Arsenal and he suddenly thought, they expect me to score and they expect us to win playing well, and really felt the weight of that. So I think that can happen to players. But, you know, you look at someone like Serge Gnabry, he couldn't get in West Bromwich Albion's team.
Yeah.
They were playing in the Championship. Now look at him, a king of Europe.
How do you explain it all, Craig?
I don't know, really. It's hard. It's hard. I know ownership will look back at Salah and De Bruyne and think, well, you know, that was a complete disaster, because look at them now. Coutinho, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't think Liverpool will be crying about Coutinho. You know, obviously they've had great success, and he's had success because he's gone and loan to Bayern and won the Champions League. But sometimes you just move to a different club and you look. The one thing is, you get the big move because you've been successful at the previous club and you've performed well. But you've already done the hard work there. You've won over the fans, you've got the respect of your teammates, and you're super confident. Then you go to the new club and you've got to start all over again. Mm. Because the Barcelona fans don't care what Philippe Coutinho did at Liverpool. Like, they don't care what he's doing at Bayern Munich if he's coming off the bench and scoring. But they care what they're seeing every second week at the Camp Nou. And that's a pressure. And with that pressure, some people are able to handle it better than others. And that's the only thing, apart from, you know, injury and illness or maybe a bad attitude, that's the only thing you can put it down to, because clearly the talent is there with all these players. But that doesn't guarantee that if you pay $150 million for something, Dan, it's going to work.
How did you handle it, Jack?
Handle what? No, nobody ever regrets selling me. That's a big difference there. Listen, this is nothing new. You know, listen, the style in Serie A clearly suits Lukaku better than it did it in Manchester United. De Bruyne just needed time to mature. This is nothing new. It's part and parcel of the game. Arsenal sold Andy Cole back in the day. Manchester United sold Gerard Piqué. Different time, different name. That's all.
Ian, how seismic would it be on the fan base revenue of Manchester United if Messi joins Manchester City? How have United come to the point that the best player in the world isn't even considering United at all?
Well, do we actually know that he isn't considering Manchester United? Because they wouldn't be shouting it from the rooftops if they were talking behind the scenes. So we don't know that as a premise, but it does look like Manchester City would be favourites because of all the Barcelona connections at Manchester City, and maybe Messi would be more popular there. But hey, Manchester United might get Jadon Sancho. That deal could still go through. And, you know, there might be people who'd say, that's a better bit of business than a 33-year-old Messi on £100 million wages a year.
So, Ian, you're saying Jadon Sancho is better than Messi?
No. Of course not. But I'm saying with potential, the potential of Jadon Sancho is enormous.
But I go back to a point I made, I think, yesterday or earlier about coaching staff and managers. Sir Alex Ferguson and his pomp was a draw for many a top player, right? A huge draw. Obviously, the club is a draw. A huge club. One of the biggest in the world. But then you look down at management and who I'm working with. And that's a bit of an issue, I think, in terms of some players, I think, with Solskjaer in there. If it had been Ferguson, his pomp, Guardiola, Klopp, people like that, that's a different scenario. But it's not. It's a coach who has yet to prove that he can really mix it with the big boys. So, you know, that's one of the things United were able... I mean, Dimitar Berbatov, I believe Robin van Persie, maybe. There was two or three players that Ian will know this better than me. Certainly Berbatov was one of the things that Man City, when he arrived in Manchester off the flight, he was going to Man City. By the time he got down the stairs from the plane, he was going to Man United. That's the wheeling and dealing that David Gill and Sir Alex Ferguson used to be able to pull off.
Let me ask this though, Dan. When has United attracted top world-class talent from outside of the Premier League, as
Pogba.
This tweet is suggesting? Fair enough. Pogba returned. But outside of that, you know, You see, my thing is, I think because of Ronaldo, who of course arrived long before he was considered, you know, top player in the world, everybody feels that United is the home for the world's best. And, you know, other than Pogba returning, I'm not sure that holds true for anybody else who arrived at Old Trafford.
Question for Xhaka. Do you think Chelsea should give Kepa another season? Possible learning from a defence orchestrated by a new defensive coach and Thiago Silva?
No, I think Kepa has fallen out of favour with the manager. I think his confidence has taken far too big a knock now. I still think he's a talented goalkeeper, but as we were discussing a couple of tweets ago, sometimes it's just not a good fit and you need to move on to improve. And I think that's the position that Kepa now finds himself in. I think it's best for both club and player that they move on. Easier said than done, given the price tag and the wages.
Huge problem, isn't it, for Lampard, Ian?
Yeah, it is, but I don't think he fancies his goalkeeper at all. In fact, I know he doesn't. He doesn't like his form. He thinks he should be making more saves than he has done. I don't think he's overly impressed by his attitude as well. So don't be surprised at all if between now and the beginning of October, Chelsea have a new goalkeeper.
I don't for 1 minute think, oh, Chelsea need a new goalkeeper. I think we know that, and they just don't like him. And I agree. I think Ian's right. I think it's more than the mistakes. I think there are other, and it goes back to, and I think we said this a couple of months ago. I hark back to this incident with Maurizio Sarri at Wembley when he wanted Kepa to come off the field a year or so, over a year ago, and he wouldn't come off. And those scenes of Sarri almost headbutting the wall on the way up to the tunnel because he couldn't get his way. It smelled of arrogance from the goalkeeper. But it reminds me of in some way of a manager said to a former goalkeeping teammate of mine, said, I love you as a lad, but every time the ball comes in the penalty box, you give me the heebie-jeebies. So he was out.
That was it.
He was done.
Question for the boys. Does Messi and Suarez leaving mean that it opens up a big possibility for Coutinho, Dembele and Griezmann, etc., to showcase their talent without the pressure of pleasing the king? Shaq?
Wait, what was it? With Messi leaving?
We're not listening. So with Messi and Suarez leaving,
and then good lord,
you've got Dembele, and then you've got Griezmann. It's their chance to shine.
I think we've seen more than enough of Dembele and Griezmann to suggest that. Again, it's not a good fit. Messi leaving, I don't think changes that. I don't feel that either their feelings was because, you know, they were pandering to Messi or anything of the sort. I don't get that. I don't get that question or suggestion at all.
I think Danny was possibly having what we know as one of his mid-show naps there.
Yes.
You know how
it just didn't make sense.
He likes to have a little doze off while off camera now and again.
One of those long blinks.
Yeah. Oh, good lord. That's when you know it's coming.
Ian, what player did you think would never leave a club, but he shocked you and the world and actually left?
Ian's having a nap as well.
Ian's pretending he's frozen just so he doesn't
frozen.
Have to answer the question.
get the body back around there. He's gone.
Hey, he's back.
Oh, tell you what, he's not looking well.
Oh, that's all right.
Suspended animation for a moment there.
Oh, that's good. It looks great. This must be how Stevie sees the world.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's all to do with, but you're asking, it's like Messi, isn't it? We thought he'd never leave Barcelona, and it looks like he might be leaving Barcelona. I'm trying to think. Can you help me? Help me out, boys. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. Somebody never leave.
Real Madrid. Like, I don't think Ronaldo was going to leave Real.
Spurs, so on.
Ronaldo, when he left Real Madrid?
I don't think he was ever going to leave Real Madrid.
I suppose maybe Sol Campbell leaving to go to Arsenal would be...
Now you're bringing up a sour subject there.
Ashley Cole...
They've still not forgiven him, have they? The Tottenham fans about that one, for leaving for nothing.
Ashley Cole leaving to go to Chelsea.
Who was the first player that did Celtic Rangers, Craig? Who was that? I forget the name.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't Mo Johnston.
Mo Johnston, that's who I was thinking of.
No, he wasn't the first one.
Right.
He wasn't the first.
But that was a bit...
But he was arguably the most high profile, and I think the problem was... What ignited, as if the Glasgow East End and West End crowd need any ignition lit under them. What sent them into an absolute fury even more was, but I believe Mo was pictured with the current the Celtic manager at the time, Billy McNeil, the legend of Celtic, who was managing him. Mo was pictured holding the Celtic strip just before he signed, or supposedly was about to sign, and there he was, holding the Celtic strip. The hero returns, and then 24 hours later, he was standing next to Graham Sinners holding the Rangers top. I was like, oh, we need to move. Stay out. There needs to be a 20-mile exclusion zone around Glasgow here, because there's going to be murders, honestly. So that's one of the reasons that this Mo Johnston one, when he went to Rangers, was so bad. And don't want to go on about it, but here's how bad it was. Because Ali McCoist and all the Rangers boys at the time I played with Scotland, they told us the Rangers guys had to park when they used to go to training at the training ground they had at the time, which was literally across the road from Ibrox. They had to park their cars all inside the stadium when they arrived at the club, and every car had to be checked for bombs.
Wow.
on a daily basis. That's how bad it got. That's scary.
God. Craig, how much does your family come into play when you're thinking about moving clubs?
Yeah. Well, probably more than it should have when I moved, because I just went, right, we're going. But
it's a surprise.
I'll put it one way. I think if you don't have an understanding partner and family, it can be difficult.
Right.
But if you're lucky, and I don't know what Shaq's was like, but I'd imagine it's pretty similar. They accept that the job that we did, there was probably going to be moves. And so I was not anything we really had to discuss, because the moves were made up from a football perspective. But there are some people that don't want to move because the kids are at a certain age, they're at school. And so that becomes something you have to take into account. But I don't really have that issue, to be honest.
Shaq?
Yeah, listen, I'm the same. We move for footballing reasons, and somehow my wife and kids adjusted. I say somehow. Just to put that and put things in perspective, I played for 15 years. My wife and I were totaling it up. In that 15 years, we lived in 13 different houses.
Wow.
So that speaks about the toll it takes on the kids, you know, having to move schools and find new best friends. Thankfully, they were all pretty young by the time, you know, when I retired, my eldest had just turned 10. So, you know, we were able to adjust accordingly. They were young enough to figure it all out themselves.
Final point, why don't players ever become referees after retirement? As they always say, referees just don't understand the game because they never played it, Craig.
Well, I don't think that's entirely correct. A lot of these referees will have played, but just not at the standard they're refereeing. And I think one of the reasons is generally nobody wants to be a referee if you've been a player. And I think the second one is, and I'm being serious here, it's hard. It's the job that these officials do in the main, assistants and referees, is excellent, because it is really, really difficult. And I think what they don't understand sometimes are the subtleties of the game. And I think on top of that, I think what hampers them is the way some of the laws are written. And so I just don't think there's an interest from former players or current players are dressing up in black and running about a field and been abused for 90 minutes. Because they've already had that for the last 15 years anyway. So what's the point of doing it again?
You agree, Shaq?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. After playing, and I'll use my own career as an example. After playing for 15 years and having people shouting abuse at you from the stands, the last thing you want to do is, all right, let me take this course and go back out and start running around for another 15, getting abused again. I don't make any kind of sense.
I'd have to add to all this, of course, that money is an issue as well. The likes of Xhaka and Craig, it's much more lucrative to be a TV pundit or become a coach or a manager than a referee. I mean, they're
speak for yourself, right. Ian.
Who needs
speak
it?
Speak for yourself.
Look at them now.
Look, Craig's got crystals.
If I became a referee, I could maybe afford a crystal to match that.
You're pointing the wrong way. There you go.
Oh,
be a terrible weatherman.
Told you my dad was a referee, didn't I?
Yeah, at quite a high level as well, wasn't it?
No, he was a referee at a decent level, but he was an assistant referee, or a linesman as it was called then. He was a linesman on Scottish Premier League games, but he never refereed at that level. But he used to let referee what we called the juniors, and you'd know that in England as non-league. Which is a good standard, as you know, with maybe 2,000 or 3,000 fans turning up. But the abuse he used to get was incredible. I was like, why? Because, and he used to referee the local games. So the local town that I lived in would play the next local town, and there might be 500 or 1,000 people at it or whatever it was. And he used to get dogs abuse. And then when he went down the pub at night, he'd get the dogs abuse again. Because it's all people from the same town. I was like, what's the point? Honestly.
And then he'd come home to Craig.
Yes, exactly.
Poor Mr. Burley.
Well, you know, I've told you this, Shaq, or I may not have. He refereed one of my school games when I was 11 years old, and he booked me for calling him bad name.
That's the first I've heard of that. Oh, yeah,
he turned around to me and he said, shut up, yellow card. And he booked me, and I had been there. I'd been not very nice to him. And I got home and I says, what'd you book me for? And I won't tell you what he said. I can't tell you.
I heard it should have been a red card, Craig.
Yeah.
I heard you got it slightly.
I wouldn't have put it past him.
That is it, boys. Thank you very much. Extra Time back on your screens, of course, tomorrow. Until then, goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.